Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to A Team of Voices Radio and Down the Tubes with Miss Darkholm. Down the Tubes is brought to you by A Team of Voices, a group located on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. I always like to say thank you to Kevin and his crew for keeping the site up and running and giving us a place to read and share our poetry. And also special thanks to Deborah Lee and the AP Taylor Foundation for supporting the group on the poetry site and the Blog Talk page. And I think that is about it for the announcements. Any reader, we do have permission to read. If the reader is not here, we do have written express permission from that poet. Though most of them call in or send in sound clouds, which are always wonderful. Tonight we will be talking about A Sea of Stars, and we will be getting into that a little bit later. I hope you liked the opening music. It was Yellow by Coldplay. And a little bit about the song. The lead singer, Chris Martin, said the lyrics are about being devoted to someone, wanting to do anything for them, writing a song for them, swimming across the sea from them, for them, and so on. It is not necessarily a romantic devotion, but could be about someone that you look up to and you would do anything for, a brotherly love. He claims to have no specific person in mind when he wrote it. The band came up with a line, "Look at the stars, look how they shine for you." After looking up at the night sky, they were recording Rockfield Studios in rural Wales, where Queen famously recorded Bohemian Rhapsody in 1975. It was nice, clear sky, and Coldplay's producer, Ken Nelson, said, "Look at the stars, lads." Martin proceeded to write Yellow in 10 minutes. That's pretty impressive, I think, a whole song, 10 minutes, that must have just came right out. Without further ado, I would like to invite on my right-hand man, I would say, most of the time. Hello, Rack. How are you?
I'm good.
You could be my unofficial, official right-hand man.
I think I could fit that bill.
How are you
doing
tonight?
And I'll have one hand left over, too. And I'll have one hand left over, too. I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay for a change.
Good. Good. You having a nice week?
Oh, life is interesting. Let's leave it at that.
Okay, that's good. Well, we're here to talk about stars. I'm going to get this going a little bit. As you could tell by the opening song, I thought that was a good one to open up with.
That was a great
and
choice.
Thank you. I do still have to get yours in the studio. I'm a little behind on that. But we do have some sound clouds lined up, which is really exciting. And I think we have some callers that will come in. And that will be exciting too. So there we go. Before I get into anything, and before I forget, I'm doing it right away. Do you have anything? Yeah, before I forget, exactly. I already know you're laughing about me, and laughing at me because you know where I'm going with this. Do you have anything to plug? I just told you to do it right away.
just a leak in the sink.
Just a leak in the sink. Okay. So you don't have anything coming up?
No. It's the end of the month, the last Thursday of the month, I have my Team of Voices show off the rack. No pre-planned prompt yet.
Okay. All right. Well, I do have something. I'm going to just say it right away. I'm on again Thursday at A Poetic Slice of Life. We are celebrating the month of May with more Star Wars. We will be celebrating Rogue One. You could write to any of the theme scenes, character, and or quotes. Quotes, you can go anywhere you want, even if off topic from the topic itself. So I'll be on it again on Thursday. Busy week. But tonight's show, we are talking about sea stars. Now, this is a cool and beautiful phenomenon. It occurs in late summer on the reefs of the Maldives, caused by which is an island in on the Indian Ocean, which is caused by bioluminescent plankton. And what happens is they kind of develop this cool thing where they light up. It's supposed to be to protect themselves. But what happens is whenever there's movement, either caused by the waves or by oars or by people walking in the water, any type of movement in the water that these little plankton are near, it lights up. The water lights up. So the effect kind of, when the waves come crashing in on the beach, it's almost like a sea of stars. It is really, really beautiful. There are so many places that I kind of want to go visit, but, you know, we're never going to get there. But we can watch videos of it, and we can learn about it, and I did put up a little, like, 12-minute video with no words, just beautiful videos captured from that place. And then I did put up a video that was maybe 3 minutes long about the scientific aspect and how that kind of happens. So it's oceans again. I know I can't stay away from my oceans, Rack. I just always go back. I have a problem with that.
Is it only a certain time of year that this happens, or is it all year round?
I believe it's late. It says it occurs during late summer. So I'm going to go with that. Whether there are other places that this might happen where it's warmer weather all the time, I'm not sure. But apparently this island is very popular for tourists, like a tourist attraction, because everybody wants to go see them. The Vadhu Islands and Ra Atoll. So it is the most known spot for viewing these planktons. So there probably is more places you can go, but this is the one that I highlighted, and this is the one I saw and was like, all right, let's put this on my calendar. We'll go visit this. It's probably really crowded around that time. I'm a warm sweater person, so there's that too. All right, so I know that you have a poem, but I'm going to wait to put your poem up because I still have to go find it and load it in. I should have asked you earlier before the show. But I do have a poem by Heavenly Angel. Oh, thank you, Deb. She's brilliant. She put something in for me. So I'm going to read for Heavenly Angel. And I want to kick it off there. This is called, so what I did was, when I did the prompt, I asked the poets to give me any poem about stars. I was a little lenient this time, so there wasn't really much homework except watch the video and have some fun. But so this is Beyond the Stars by Heavenly Angel. The constellations, they are all aligned, as I gaze unto this cloudless skies above. The heavens were smiling on me. I was able to pluck the moon and a star, gifts of love to you, my darling, so that my love will shine on you from near or afar. You've left trails of stardust deep within my being. Let's travel by the stars' silvery light, and glide on each moonbeam's golden ray. We'll soar by the clouds and stars in the sky. We could fly beyond the Milky Way. My moon, my stars, my heaven. End poem. Excellent. I'm going to do something a little bit different today, so I don't go off on any tangents. Brack, what do you think?
I thought this was beautiful. You know, right away she mentions the constellations and a cloudless sky. You know, one kind of lends itself to the other. You know, they've been finding pictures in you know, stars and things like that. You know, I think people have been doing that for a long time. I don't know when it was kind of like formalized that, you know, oh, this is, you know, the North Star, and this is, you know, this constellation or that constellation, and Orion this and all of that. But, you know, to you know, write about that and then tie it to love and things like that. You know, there's a lot of songs out there and things like that that do the same thing. So, you know, it's a beautiful thought that lends itself to the idea of love and immortality, I guess, immortalizing your love and representing it in some sort of fiery fashion. You know, it's beautiful.
Yes, I thought it was an excellent piece. Wonderful romanticism in it, of course, at What Can You Expect From Heavenly Angel. And I think the part that I found most magical would be, you've left trails of stardust deep within my being. I mean, I really loved that part. I thought it was poetic. I thought it was a beautiful metaphor. And the idea of leaving stardust deep within one's being to kind of linger there, especially because stars are often noted with wishes and hope. I thought it created a bit of an undertone of that longing and hope as well. Maybe not so much as longing, because it had the sense of that the writer already had that love. So maybe not so much as longing as much as hope that it would endure and belief that it would. And then I also liked how she ended on that line, and especially how she kind of displaced the last line with my moon, my stars, my heaven, as almost a final thought separate from the rest of the piece. Really well done. I appreciate you dropping down for tonight, Heavenly Angel, and bringing me a little bit of your stars. Really well done.
This ties itself to your plankton, too, I think. The idea of how it picks up the light.
Yeah, I thought it was so amazing how, any deep creature of, you know, bioluminescence is amazing, but the idea of seeing it right on the beach line, I mean, I bet that's just absolutely beautiful, yeah. Almost like it's lighting up. I mean, you think about when you have pool lights, and they're those artificial lights, obviously, but they're still really beautiful even when it's artificial light in the pool. Imagine this crashing down on a beach line or even when you touch the water with your hands or with any type of motion. I mean, I bet it looks incredible firsthand, but the videos were pretty incredible too. So
there's a cave in New Zealand. There's a cave in New Zealand that's loaded with glow bugs. That line, the roof of the cave tops, that they say looks like looking at the stars also. That's also a tourist attraction. I don't know the name off of the top of my head, but I thought that was kind of similar. You know, it's again, bioluminescence. It's not algae, but, you know, it's the bug, and it glows. So they light up.
Yeah, the glowworms.
Yeah, the glowworms, yeah.
I did that for one of my shows. Do I remember what it was? No, but I do have a copy of all my past shows, and maybe I'll just go take a peek on that when somebody else is doing something. But I did do that for one of my shows. But mm-hmm. I'm going to let – I think this is – oh, this is Deb. What am I doing?
Fly away.
No, it's not. It's almost her zip code. Yeah. No, it's not. Hi, is this Destruction?
It is, most certainly.
Oh, that was a good guess. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing all right, I suppose.
Awesome. We were just talking about the cool effect that this algae has on the water and the sand, that it must be so beautiful live. But
well, I was listening and I heard you talking about bioluminescence. My my only experience firsthand with bioluminescence is fireflies. They are in the, as far as, I guess summertime, late summertime, really, when it's still very humid, but the evenings are cooling down, they'll be out and about, and if you look, you'll see little flickers of just a pale yellow light flash, and then it's gone for just a second, and it really is pretty when you are able to see it, and the summer's fading into fall, and some of the trees are colored fall-like, some are still green, and then, you know, the dim twilight light, and then you see the fireflies just lighting up every so often. I don't know, I mean, sorry, total different tangent, but I was going to talk about that, sorry.
It's not totally different.
Don't be sorry. It's not. So I'm going to give you a little, because this is your first time calling on Down the Tubes. I only do it once a month here. I'm on another show once a week, but here I do once a month. And in the title, it says really random stuff. That's because it's Down the Tubes with really random stuff. So this is the show to go off topic because it's really random. Also, it is on topic. And I usually give more, more homework. What Sweet would call homework. So whenever I do the shows, I also give the writer, before I drop their poem, time to talk about anything that they wanted to share about the videos or any thoughts or, and that is exactly what you did. So, you're right on key, actually. So it's good. I like the talk and the learning that goes along with these shows. What does Sweet call it? The Sky Dark Home Study, no, the Sky Home Study Program. She calls me.
Yeah.
All right. So Deb was kind enough to put your SoundCloud in the studio. So if you're ready, I'm going to play it right away.
Sounds great to me.
All right, here we go.
To see the sea of stars, angels, deities, loved ones, kings of old, whatever, whomever they may be, the specks of light in moonlit night tonight are bold. See the sea of stars? Are not they the epitome of beauty? To bow down and bask in their twinkling, waltzing grace, a praise, a song, a novel, even if written far too long, such infinitesimal acts could not possibly embrace their wonder, but 'tis pleasurable to be wrong. Oh, but even a fraction of a second compareth not of our pitiful insignificance to their grandiose existence. We observe their lives, but billions, no trillions of eons have passed since. Hast they fallen asleep, a death to decadence? Dawn comes to show us our own that holds a place next to them. Perhaps another is philosophical and immeasurable distance away. Thinking this, 'tis madness, they say, I pray theirs shall ne'er grow dim. For if that be, they ought no more, and we shall ne'er meet some day. With yawn my sinew cries that I should bid thee a good night, but I have kept ye awake with me until this morning light. Shall we sleep now together, holding each other's hand, to see the sea of stars once more, my friend?
Absolutely beautiful. Rack, what did you think about that one?
Yeah, I love the language. It has that old-time feel to it. And, you know, it sets the scene wonderfully. And, you know, he speaks a lot of the things that the stars have inspired, I think, in some people, the ideas. So it kind of sets you off on that galactic path almost. I really liked it. Very well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Excellent comment, Rack. Yes, I thought this was, you mentioned the language, and that was the first, well, not the first thing, but one of the first things that I noticed was this vintage Old English type of language with the Kurdist, which I thought was wonderfully placed. And going down to the Hast they fall in asleep, a death to decadence. I really love that one. You know, when you come in with this striking, you know, older edge with the deities, which, you know, the angels and specifically deities, which I enjoyed. When you look up at the sky, and if we're talking about stars, and you bring in the deities, loved ones, also that too, and the kings of old, because you're bringing in mythology, you're bringing in that medieval times, you're bringing in different types of faith with the angels, but I love that you also put loved ones in there as well to pay homage to all those that, you know, that we have lost and that were important to our lives. And a lot of people find that hope in looking up the sky. So I liked how you packed it in right in the first line. And you kind of say, whatever, whomever they may be, because not everybody's going to look at the sky in the same way. And I love how in the second line, even though you mentioned many different types, you're accepting of all types. So that's really set the tone of acceptance through the whole piece and the beauty of it, I believe. Your language was right on point. Infinitesimal acts, absolutely Kurdist. I think that was one of my favorite parts too. And this type of, I guess, dreaming nuance that you have, dawn comes to show us our own, the holds a place next to them. So it's not just looking out, but it's also knowing that one may also be a part of that, or is a part of it, rather, really. So it doesn't make us feel separate. It makes the reader feel also part of that night sky and part of all those declarations, I guess you were saying before. Questions are wonderful to me in poetry. I always feel like it brings the reader in. And kind of makes them a part of it, makes them pause. I always feel it about questions when they're done well, so I really like that as well. This is an excellent piece for the show tonight. Thank you, Destruction.
Thank you so much for the topic and that artwork that I saw in the video is, I mean, I don't know, I just, I've looked at a lot of Hubble telescope pictures of areas of the universe and the stars and the collection of stars, and the blue of those stars made me think of the Pleiades and how beautiful they are. It's perhaps my most favorite constellation. Satellite imagery of it is amazing. If you haven't had the chance to look that up or see them yourself, please do. The Pleiades is very, very beautiful constellation. But I don't know, I've looked at the stars, and out in the country in Mississippi, they the night sky is unimpeded, uninhibited by the light of the city. And this man, sometimes, especially during the winter, the stars are just 100% out. You feel like you can see every one of them that's out there. And I don't know, a lot of times I when I really bask in that beauty and let myself see all of it, I get entranced by it. And I don't know, I just, that's what I was going with here. And then as far as holds a place next to them, that line is our own sun, our own star. It holds its own right to be considered a star. We just up close enough that we don't look at it that way. And then perhaps another is philosophical and immeasurable distance away. Perhaps someone way, way off, some other creature or being is looking at the stars, and our sun is one of them and is being philosophical themselves as they look at it. And, you know, I pray that theirs never grows dim. For if that be that they art no more, and we shall ne'er meet it someday. Basically, I mean, if a star ever disappears, we know that trillions of years ago, a solar system very well no longer exists, and it'd be a sad thing to think of that an entire set of people. Yes, I believe aliens are possible. Sorry if that is off topic at all. I guess you said it's okay. But anyway, yeah, that's where I was coming from on this.
I think it's a beautiful thought. And aliens are not on – everything is on topic tonight because it's really random stuff. And I think it is – with all that we know, I think it's crazy not to believe that there is some kind of life somewhere else. I think it's not – there's so many solar systems. Come on. Like, there's definitely – I mean, it's crazy to think that there wouldn't be. And I also liked your thought about, you know, when you think about it, you know, a dying star, how it takes so many light years for light to even hit us, that some of those stars are actually already distinguished, the sadness of that. So I love that you brought that in, and the beautifulness that you shared, definitely. I do have, so I don't know these numbers because all these new people are coming. I don't know if I should, we'll just let them on, yeah? Hello, Team of Voices.
Hello, Sky, how are you?
Oh, hello. Are you calling from a different number? I need to write numbers down.
No, this is my number. No, Adda may be on. He may have another 60. Well, I've made sure Adda's got a phone number down here, so he's got a 61 number as well. So there might be a couple of 61s there, but this is my number.
I got to start. I used to write them down, and then I started memorizing them all, and I guess I'm just not that good today. How are you today, AP?
I am well, thank you. I am well. How about yourself?
Wonderful. I'm wonderful. I had a fantastic day, actually. And we're just sitting here talking about the stars.
So can't argue about that.
I can't argue. And destruction, I put a picture on the board of the constellation that you were talking about for anybody to see. So thank you for that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Such beauty.
Excellent. Okay, let's see. AP, you can put your poem down on the board whenever you're ready, AP. And as you know, I'm so glad you were able to call. As you know, I usually let the reader do any bit of talking or anything they want to share about the topic.
Yes.
Or about anything else, really.
Yes. Yes. Well, let me say a few words, Sky, because I am bridging because you've got a couple of shows this week. You've got a show about stars and then you've got a show about Star Wars Rogue One. So I am bridging.
Yeah.
I am bridging because it just happens that Rogue One has wonderful music, and I'm sure you're going to talk about this in your show, but Michael Giacchino, in the space of about 3 weeks, did the whole score for Rogue One, and unlike every other Star Wars score, which was done by, of course, the great John Williams.
John Williams.
But yeah. Michael Giacchino did a wonderful job of the score of Rogue One. And it has my favorite classical piece of music in it, which is the Din Urso and Hope theme, which goes for about 7 minutes, and there's lots of violins, but it's bloody good. And so I did a little piece listening to that to do my little piece for you. So it's a sort of dual thing. Yeah?
Wonderful. I think I might have to put that as my opening song just for you on Thursday.
Oh, you should. It's such a brilliant piece of music. Anyway, this is upon a theme of hope, and it goes a little bit like this. Somewhere there are preparations, the naive excitement of those yet to taste blood, moulded by the calm of those who can still see and taste death. Until the day arrives when all are boarded into ships and off they travel to face an enemy they know too well. The universes speed by and delicate spirals. until the two forces clashed with explosions and cries, and as suddenly as it started, there remains only silence and survival, which they know on this occasion theirs is not to consider. Past only a few days, the stars ahead. End poem.
Brilliant. Wonderfully done. I'm shaking it up today, and I'm letting Rack comment first, just so that you know. Rack, what do you think?
I love what you did with this. You know, when you listen to music, sometimes what it's set to when they use it in movies and whatnot sometimes influences what you write. But you know, you could there's a lot of, I think, your own impression in this as well. You know, you almost can't help but you know, mention some of the stuff that they use it for in the music itself, in the movie itself. But you know, you could tell your idea of hope and what you got out of it also in it as well. And I think you did a good job, you know, making it your own and not just, you know, saying, you know, the music moved me. I like how you did that. I really do.
Thanks, Rick.
Excellent comments. Yes, I thought this was wonderful, and I love it because, well, there are many reasons why I love it, but one of the reasons why I love it is because there's a duality of it. If you put this poem up and you took the idea of Star Wars completely out, there's a more tangible reality of I guess you would say, of war and what it means to that, you know, those young, spry, I'm going to go do this, and you're going to prepare for all these things, and there's an excitement in young, and, you know, and then there's the harsh reality of it, and when you get there, there are so many books that I've read, or movies, I guess you would say sometimes, where you see the young kid, and then they're like, this isn't what I thought it would be like, and they're sending those letters home, and that's what the beginning kind of reminded me of, that stark reality of, I guess, those green hearts learning their first taste of war. And in context with the film, I thought also it was really well done, especially because, you know, there were young faces here. And then when you come down to there remains only silence and survival, which they know on this occasion there is not to consider. This is one of those movies that, you know, like when they make a comment in the next film, you know, there a lot of lives were lost to get us here. You kind of know that everybody's gonna die by the end, but you're not ready for it. At least I wasn't. Like, we're all dead. Like, I couldn't handle it. And in a way, you knew it was coming, and it still was so hard hitting, that sacrifice. So again, in the movie, it was moving with that sacrifice. But your poem and the way that it's written, because it can work in both fashions, I think is just,
yeah,
I guess, to me, an extra hard hitting for me, and kind of like a surreal in reality of what it is. I thought this was absolutely brilliant. I love the way that you went here. I love that you kind of made the connection that I will be doing a Star Wars show, and that you brought me something of the stars, fandom, and also a very tangible right, AP. Thank you.
Pleasure, Scott.
Excellent. We lost Destruction, so I cannot ask him. But AP, do you have anything going on this week that you want to talk about?
That's a really good question, actually, because we do. We have, a little bit later on in the week, we have, of course, the standard Saturday night in the US, Sunday morning show for me, which is, and Hatter and I will be sitting next to each other again. And we talked about gold last week. We're talking about milk this week, Sky, milk. The reason we're talking about milk is because I can't get enough of it in my fridge because Hatter just drinks me out of it, whatever I put in. So milk's at the top of my scope for the minute.
Okay. I'm trying to think if I have a milk bone.
Hard to know. But you can always use Milky Way, see? So it does sort of, you know, it's got a little bit of scope, yeah.
Okay. I do have, I could twist that. I do have a poem about chocolate crayons. Stay with me here.
There you go. Perfect.
The chocolate crayon poem.
You know, there you go. That's on theme.
It's coming. The chocolate crayon poems is about coloring with chocolate crayons, but it uses all different types of chocolate bars, including a midnight Milky Way chocolate bar. So,
whoa.
There we go.
That's special. There you
if
go.
If push comes to shove, I'll bring the chocolate poem.
There you go. See, it does stretch its way in a frothy sort of manner to different sort of angles you may not have thought of to start with. You know,
I think you should try a different angle and surprise Hatta with some goat's milk.
I think they get scared by that, Hatta. almond milk. Soy milk? You just look at me as if I've come out of a closet somewhere.
Yeah. At least goat's milk is still milk.
True.
I don't know. I drink almond milk, so I'm a millennial. What can I say?
There you go.
No, it's all good.
It's nice.
Anyway, so I've sort of popped by, and you know, I've as I said, multi-use poem, and that's as much as I've got. But I, as I said, I'll try and pop by for Rogue One because you know, but one, it's got great battle scenes, just a wonderful set of battle scenes, really fantastic stuff, and they're tightly choreographed, brilliantly acted, the whole thing. But the music is fantastic, and of course it does have the benefit of having Ben Mendelsohn in it, so all good movies should have a bad guy that's an Australian. And you're a lovable rogue, AP.
Ah, yes. Well, I should have actually been more roguish and more lovable if I'd acted half as well as Ben Mendelsohn did. And God knows I saw him when he was younger, and he acted me off the stage. So comprehensively acted me off the stage to somewhere down to the back sort of part of the staging equipment. He just was far, far, far too then. And he was 10.
Excellent. Well, thank you for calling, AP, and I hope you enjoy...
Pleasure.
What is it, like it's the middle of the night for you over there, or what's happening?
No, it's the middle of the afternoon of the next day, which makes no sense at all, but it is.
I love when you time travel to come visit us. Thank you.
No, it's a great pleasure. And thank you, and have a great show.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks again. Okay, cheers. Bye.
Hi. I grew up on a farm. Hatter, call in, my friend. What are you doing over there? Hatter, I see you on the board. Get your phone. Come say hi. He just dropped a poem, so he probably will be calling. Okay, so I do have your poem, Brack, but I'm saving it for somebody else to be here. I mean, I know all the only comment that matters is mine. No, I'm just kidding. I do want somebody else to hear it, so to be at least one other person to comment. So I am going to... Let's see, what am I going to do? I'm going to drop the last SoundCloud we have. We have a lot. I'm going to have to... Are you writing these down, Rack? Someone needs to...
Thank you.
I'm going to say my thank yous at the end, and I'm going to have no idea what's happening. All right, so I'm going to put Pee Wee Cushion on the board.
Is it Cushion or Cousins?
Pee-wee cousin. I was just about to correct myself. Thank you. I don't know. Going with it. Pee-wee cousin. Okay. But thank you, because if I didn't correct it, I would rather you correct it. But I was just about to. All right. Hatter will probably be calling in pretty soon. I'm going to press play. This is a poem by Pee Wee Cussin. And here we go.
Desperately seeking that you knew, becoming once again more than even, chosen to bring silence to the writing. Know the fear when I raise my hand. Reading all the lines in the sky, waiting for the ancient satellite. Coming down to radio waves, bow down, and then we say. Ancient satellites sailing in the stars, carrying the essence of what we are. Breathing life in you through a dream, let them show you exactly what I mean. Entering the conscious of the collective, evolution has never been that selective. All of what you are stored in mason jars, returned to life granted to me from the stars. Time is everything, come and get your wings, playing notes alone that you can't sing. Everything unseen and all you can't be, they've taken away or given to me. Ancient satellites sailing in the stars, carrying the essence of what we are, breeding life in you through a dream. Let them show you exactly what I mean. Invalid vector expector, meager mile, distant galaxies burning out in style. Our land gonna burn down the sky. In the way of the new world, you all die. Simultaneous oxygen explosions, intrinsic anatomical erosions, defective genetical organ clots, non-linear phased orphan blocks, spontaneous combustion in the night. It's the way of the new world. You die.
Wonderful piece in SoundCloud, wonderful creative nuances. I will say the idea at the very beginning, I felt a different way in the beginning than I did in the end. So in the beginning, and I am going to comment first on this one, sorry, Rack. In the beginning, I felt that I was really getting, do you remember the film Rack, Starman? I did a show on it not too long ago. He came down, yeah, for some reason. So I was thinking about when he's speaking, you know, waiting for the ancient satellites coming down to the radio waves, bow down and maybe you'll be saved. Ancient satellites sailing in the stars, carrying an essence of what we are, breathing life in you through a dream. Let them show you exactly what I mean. There's obviously this alien life form type of feeling. And for some reason, I was just thinking about this when Starman went and got some of the guy's hair and he just created the whole body of him genetically and just recreated that. And something about the satellites, I'm not sure, I just got that vibe. And then there's tons of movies that are like that and sci-fi fiction novels, the Ray Bradbury novels and of such kind. Actually, I just read two books out of the trilogy from C.S. Lewis, and I'm not used to reading science fiction from C.S. Lewis, but he has a series, and I just read the first two. And it wasn't my favorite, I'm not going to lie. I think I prefer Ray Bradbury, but anyway, I definitely got this feeling in the beginning. I loved the way that he kind of placed the words. It had a lyrical way about it, which I really enjoyed. And I think it was kind of enhanced by his theatrics of the reading. And a little bit of, I guess I would say the word I'm looking for is anticipation, but kind of like a weary anticipation. Because when right down the middle, I felt like there was a little bit of a turn. And I felt a little trepidation of this alien life coming with the, where was it, invalid vector, expector, meek or mild, which I thought was great verbiage and great play on lyrical words. Distant galaxy burning out of in style, our land's going to burn down the sky. and the way of the new world you all die. Of course, that's very foreboding. And I also couldn't help but think it could also be a type of allegory for other things or perhaps self-destruction. So I was kind of going in, I was going off in so many different directions while listening to this poem. I was like, alien life, self, you know, how the world is kind of self-imploding and becoming their own destruction, or, and also being, you know, you are assimilated, you know, a little bit of takeover. So there were so many things, especially when he talks about combustion, when he starts
yeah.
about self, you know, naturally spontaneous combustion, I started thinking about our own demise. So I'm not sure which way he meant it, but I like how I can kind of grab on to many different theories. And then in the end, when he started going off in that bit of echo type feel, I thought that was really cool. Really well done, Pee-wee. Thank you so much for not only dropping your poem, but also doing the SoundCloud for us so that we can enjoy it with your own voice, which I always prefer. And isn't always possible, so can't always get that, but I do appreciate when I do. And, yeah, Rock, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the production of this is incredible. For me personally, you know, sometimes less is more because, like you said, there were a lot of ideas that he floated, and without being able to follow on the words, my mind was spinning even more than yours was, I think. I was all over the place. The spontaneous combustion grabbed me. He was talking about a lot of spatial phenomena and things like explosions and whatnot, and, you know, the idea of the self-destruction, like you said, was in my head. But, you know, it almost like, you know, wiped out what I was trying to hang on to from the beginning to follow along. So it was a little more difficult for me, but, you know, I really appreciated, like you said, the production value of it, the theatrics, you know, it was really cool. But, you know, just, again, personally, it was hard for me to follow because I couldn't read the words at the same time and you know, That's just my affliction, unfortunately. But I still appreciated it, you know. And like you said, there was a lot to grab onto. The overall thread kind of escaped me because, again, I couldn't tie things back to what I was hearing from before. You know, I was in one direction for 1 minute, and then, you know, the explosion sent me in a different direction, and then, you know, it's like, you know, is it benevolence? Is it just, you know, casual observance? Is it clinical? My head was all over the place, but I enjoyed it very much, Pee Wee. It really was an excellent.
It was. Now, do you think part of perhaps the idea of it leading to different threads and going in different directions and kind of changing gears, that it's kind of, in a way, kind of that intangible feeling where you almost yeah. think you get it, but it slips away into a different direction. I think it almost mirrors the subject matter of, you know, do you kind of, are you picking up what I'm putting down? You know, like it kind of mirrors that subject matter of what might be out there, all these theories, ideas, and that kind of go in different directions. I almost think it makes it even a little bit better that you can't quite pinpoint.
Definitely.
You know, and or that you can kind of go and I guess you could pinpoint in one to the other with reading back, with the ability to read back, which I know that you have a harder time with. But I mean, you could just pick a route and say, nope, this is it. But I like the diversity of it, how you can kind of go in different ways. I enjoyed that. It kind of made it a little bit more dreamlike. I thought it was very effective. Really well done. Thank you so much again. Yeah, excellent. Okay, so let me see. Yeah, I'm just reading one of his comments.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay. I kind of like my old spacey God complex kind of right. That was Pee-wee's comment. All right. Sometimes you got to hear over here right in the comments. Okay, so we have got, let's see, just want to check my studio. Yellow means go faster. What is that?
Oh, yeah.
Could you read my piece? Okay, I can. All right, I'll read your poem. Hatter wants me to read his poem. Let's see. Before I read Hatter, I am going to read your poem, but I do have a poem that I would like to read. It's a brevity, and it was the first one that was dropped, and I do want to read this within the first hour. So, Hatter, I'm going to read you. Just wait one moment, and I will read it. I guess you can't call in. But Deb is calling in, and I will wait to read your poem until she comes in. Because I am adamant that I am going to have another commenter. Okay. This is... Yeah, yeah. I should have pre-read this, though. Okay, looks good. Looks good. Okay, this is Authenticity of a Day, Dances Through the Senses by Kay. Turquoise scales of golden starfish, tassels of seafoam blue bracelets the water, smoky air hints of auburn and silver beneath the feet, leaves crunching with each step, and what litters the beach from yesterday's wilting, a shimmering pearl of quartz along the horizon, inviting to connection. End poem. This is excellent. And Rack, my first commenter of the night, what were your thoughts?
I think it's beautiful. You know, you could tell she was inspired by the water. She brings in, you know, so much of, you know, being on the beach and I want to say the nighttime because she's mentioning the lights and things. But, you know, there's almost, you know, I don't know, when you talk about the beach, there's different times of day, I think, that evoke different feelings of it. And at night, it's very different, I think, than, you know, midday or, you know, towards the sunrise or even the sunset. You know, when it's nighttime, it has a totally different feel. And, you know, I think she captured that. I thought it was beautiful.
Excellent. Yes, I thought this was beautiful. And the way that she brought in the images, turquoise scales and golden starfish, I really love that. Castles of seafoam blue bracelets the water. The idea of something braceleting the water. I loved when people or in writers put two unlikely things together and they make it work. I think that is one of my favorite things to do as a writer and one of my favorite things to read as a writer, because when I hear it and it's new and it's fresh and I'm like, huh, I never thought about that, or, huh, that's quite brilliant, the idea. And even though you're not, there's obviously something is not, it's not a physical, tangible bracelet, but when you think about that as a metaphor, it's just perfect. And I love that. I love when people do that. I also love how she kind of puts, I know she said auburn and not autumn, but when she says smoky air, hints of auburn and silver beneath the feet, I couldn't help but think of autumn leaves.
Right.
But in the idea of it being in the ocean. And when you think about a sky setting on the beach or on the water, and you see all those beautiful colors of the yellow and the red and the darker things of a sunset, it could mirror like these, the idea of autumn, but with a, like she said, a silvery hue. And that's kind of what I was thinking about when I was reading that line. So when she follows it up, the leaves crunching, I'm like, brilliant, brilliant, and brilliant putting those two things together. And I liked that she said auburn and silver, not autumn again, and then followed it up with leaves crunching. So the nugget was there, and then she just drove it home with the leaves idea. I thought this was quite brilliant. Really well done, and great addition for tonight. I think it fits so perfect, and it was a brevity. And look at how, I haven't stopped talking about it for like 10 minutes now. Really well done. Stephen would be pressing buttons on me if he was here. let's see. I do have a caller in the studio, but I do want to just plug the show for them tomorrow. Tomorrow there will be the Mortuary of Shadows at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This week in the mortuary, Arnold Schwarzenegger is paying yet another visit to PSL. This time we'll be looking at the 1987 movie Predator, starring Arnie, Carl Weathers, Jesse Ventura, and Bill Duke. So they'll be celebrating the film. Looks like they've got lots of quotes for you, and it's going to be fun. I have to be honest with you, I've never seen the film, but I will be there. I will be there. What am I doing tomorrow? I have family fun night. I might be late. I'm not sure. I don't think family fun night should be over by 8, but I do have to go to that. So I might be a little late, but I will be there. All right. Thank you so much, Kay. I do appreciate your poem and your addition. I just took you off my – there we go. And without further ado, I do want to invite on Deborah Lee.
Unmuted.
Why can't I get anybody right today? Deborah Lee starts with an 8. I'm having a number problem. Hi, Hatter. Hatter.
Hey, how are you? Yeah, how are you?
When Deb calls, I'm going to call her Hatter just because I want to. I thought you said you couldn't
call. Yeah,
it's
sort of noisy.
I mean, I'm glad you did.
Well, I can call. It's just I'm in public, and it just started that noise was not as loud as it was. But I don't think I'm going to be able to read anything. I'd appreciate it if you read mine.
Okay, I'll read
it's
yours.
It's sort of got stars. Sort of got stars in it, maybe.
Okay, sort of got stars. I've been waiting for someone to call, but I'll wait for Jeff. Still,
yeah, let me mute
the call. So let's see. Okay. Let's see. Thank you for your patience, Raconteur. I.
Twarn't nothing, ma'am.
I feel like twarn't nothing.
Did I bump him?
All right, I gotta read stuff. Okay. So this is, let's see, We Really Suck as the Human Race, Space, by Jay Hatter. Please don't stand so close that you block the sun. Listen for those things that appear to have come undone. Rent is higher if you step on the grass. Read the sign or they'll kick your ass. Penalties and fees for trespassing pools. You know you're safe if you stay in school. Funny thing is, you cannot feel or touch. It is what's not there that means so much to us. Space is surely the final frontier, and man destroys what wanders near. Let me see the greed on your face. Let me watch the bodies you traced. Tell me things just in case. Don't stand there. It's now my space. We really suck at the human race. Race to us has been falsely claimed. They twisted it so that they win the games. It was never the color from a different place, but always it was simply a race. Who wins are those that control this space. They know how to run at criminal pace. 'Twas better to lie than to be that guy that always comes in last. Space is like air and should always be shared, 'cause that's where I hid my stash. End poem. And Hatter, I love the poem, but your background has white in it, And the writing's white. And I have to tell you, I have a really bad astigmatism, and I have a hard time reading colors when they're on the same colors, in any color, not just white. So you're killing me, man. But I hope it was okay. Excellent poem. Raconteur is my first commentator of the night. So Raconteur, what do you think?
I like this hatter. My mind just went totally blank because I got a stupid alarm going off on my phone now. Lovely. Sorry, Hatter. I mean, you always take us on a journey, and you start off, you know, in a very whimsical way, I think, and then you lead us down a path. And there's usually, you know, something that you're trying to say, a lesson or, you know, a feeling that just irritates you. I'm sitting here thinking, it sounds like he got a ticket for something while he was over there at one point. You know, he must have stepped on the grass or did something wrong. But, I liked it. the idea of, sucking as a human race. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that we could do better. And you know, if there is someone out there, you know, watching us, if we are being judged at some point, I cringe to think what the outcome's going to be.
Excellent comment, Rock. Thank you. And I thought this was great. I like the idea. Okay, sure. I like the idea of that you open up with. Please don't stand so close that you block the sun. It's a great metaphor for, please, don't be so self-centered that you're being so rude or boisterous or infringent on other people that you're blocking their light, their sun, that metaphor. At least that's kind of what I got from it. The line can be taken very literally, as in maybe someone's laying in the sand and someone walks over and blocks the sun. But I have a feeling it goes much deeper than that, into a more of a metaphor for kind of like how one lives their life. I liked the idea of rent is higher if you step on the grass. Read the signs, they'll kick your ass. I had fun reading that. I wasn't quite ready for it. I did not pre-read, so I thought I did okay with when sprouting things. And where was it? Where was this? Let me see the greed on your face. Let me watch the bodies you trace. Tell me things just in case. Don't stand there. It's now my space. We really suck as the human race. So when you go into the preceding lines of kind of like this darker humor or this cynicism where you say all these kind of rude and meaner things, but then you throw that line down there with suck as a human race, meaning, you know, don't be like these people. There are people like this out here, and we need to show a little bit more compassion. And then you go down to a much wider view with, where was this? The guy that always comes in last, space is like air, and you should always, should always be shared. Kind of like there's enough to go around for everybody, so be kind. And I'll share my stash with you, apparently, at the end. And that could be a stash of love or
cookies.
Coin or
cookies.
Whatever. Cookies, brownies. I don't know what you're doing over there, Hatter, but you're willing to share to nice people, and that's always nice. So really well done. Thank you so much, Hatter. And Hatter, did you happen to watch the video? It's okay if you didn't. But did you happen to watch
the
video? It was only 3 minutes.
No, I was very unprepared. Very unprepared. In fact, AP reminded me of the show. I was so bad. Still getting acclimated to the time and everything down here.
So I'm not going to blame you too much because I did put the topic up rather late. I mean, nobody ever reads it till the day of anyway, I'll be honest with you. Except Kay drops the day that it drops, but she is pretty much the only one. And everybody else waits till the day of including myself, so no judgment here, to to write. So even if it was up, it probably people probably would have waited anyway. But I did get it up late, so I'm going to give you off the hook this time. But if you do get a chance, you should definitely check out the Vadhu Maldives, or Maldives. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. I think it's Maldives. The reefs in the this reef of beautiful algae that is just absolutely gorgeous. We'll go travel there together, you and I, and yeah. We'll have to take back
share,
with us.
Share a stash.
Right. There you go.
Always been generous. Always been generous with my stash.
And thank you for calling in. I don't know how long you're going to stay with the stuff going on, but I appreciate, even though you didn't read it, I still appreciate you calling in to hear your voice, to say hello. And AP plugged Saturday, but do you have anything else? Are you doing like the man cave or anything? AP did plug Saturday, but did you have something else this week?
She wanted to remind AP to pick up a little.
Yeah, no, that's the only thing I got scheduled was Saturday. If there's usually something in the midweek, I'll pick up for a music show, but I have none scheduled so far. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to call in
and
support my Sky.
Awesome.
Of course.
Well, thank you so much, Hatter.
And thank you for reading
Hatter.
Yeah, thank you for reading it.
You're welcome.
Much.
Thank you. Yeah, I do I do want to invite on Deborah Lee. Hello, Deb.
Hello, Sky.
Hello,
hi, how are you?
I'm frustrated. All kinds of stuff going on in the background with some stuff to do with the site, but I won't say on the air. But hi, Rack.
Okay.
Hi, Hatter.
Hey, Debs.
Hey, sis.
Good to hear you both. Actually, all three of you.
Yeah,
me too, of course.
Actually, I know we've been hanging out here talking about the stars. And I've been waiting for other people to call to drop Raconteurs. So if you don't mind, I'm going to do his poem, and then Deb, I'll put you right on, okay? Is that okay?
Sounds like a plan.
Just so you can get somebody else's conscience besides me. Okay. All right.
Deborah, were you able to hear the one I posted? Just I wanted you to remind you of which one it was. I remember writing it that had you in mind.
I didn't, Hatter. I just got here, but when I hang up, I'll check it out.
Okay, thank you.
I was on the phone with Linda. Actually, but I'm sorry. Let's listen to Rack.
Okay, so this is Rack. I got him in the studio, and I'm going to go ahead and press play. Catch a Falling Star. That was the one, right, Rack?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Catch a Falling Star by Raconteur. A father's love extends beyond the stars. Losing his daughter was too much to bear. Calling for the wizard, he bellowed, "I want her back, whatever it takes. I don't care." Winds howled in dismay, wailing that we were meant to be entwined forever. But tomorrow isn't promised. Reluctantly, heaven shattered in surrender. Streaking across the sky, a star plummets. Striking the castle's highest tower, it crashed and burned. Exhausted, the wizard quipped to the king, "I believe the princess has returned." Rescued from the rubble, the princess was brought before the king. She seemed to be unscathed, except for one tiny thing. Her stomach resembled a cauldron. Apparently, the princess was with child. In that way, we remained inseparable. Wiping her misty eyes, the king smiled. He now has his daughter back. Twins were born soon after. They had stars in their eyes, and memories of our dance imbued in their laughter. End poem.
Excellent. This is like a little twisty there, Rack. I'm a little quiet because I'm chewing on this. So this is a cool little fairy tale. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, just so you know, you kind of walked in the middle. There was three parts to it, so that's why it sounds a little confusing. But there's links in the author's notes to go back to the part one and part three.
Okay, well, do you want to say anything about part one first? Not part three. Don't give away the ending.
It started with a dance, and you know, things went awry from there, and you know, the characters went into the skies to avoid, you know, the king's wrath, and then, you know, that's why the king was like, you know, I want my daughter back. So this was the aftermath of that.
This is cool. Okay, so it's like this little mini series fairy tale rewrite type thing. Okay, a darker fairy tale, I might say. This is really cool. Well, not really. If you talk about the Grimms, you know, in the original Grimms, Rapunzel was actually pregnant. Not Rapunzel, Sleeping Beauty. So, I mean, you go a little dark there too. But that's kind of popped in my mind, actually. This is really cool. I liked how you brought – I wasn't quite expecting – when you read the first line, I wasn't reading along, I have to be honest with you. I was purely listening. So sometimes when I read along, I actually read a little ahead from the reader. And if the reader is very clear, I tend to not read and I just listen, and you have a very clear voice when you read. So when you read the first line, I thought it was going to be like in a very different direction. And then you started bringing in the wizards, and then I'm like, oh, this is interesting. And I still didn't know quite where we're going. And then I was about, maybe you were, I'm looking at the text now, so I would say maybe the second stanza, I started really latching on to this is the type of tale. And I thought that this was very creative. I really loved this section here, the streaking across the sky, star plummet striking the castle's highest tower, and the images of that and the idea and the dialogue that you put into it, this bit of rescue and the rebel and the princess and the king, and this twist of the pregnancy. But I also liked how you put that little nugget in there with the, I'm not sure where it was, the stars in their eyes and the idea of that.
And, the very end.
Kind of like, yeah, the kind of like that's perhaps, I want to, there's a little mystical piece of that I would like to really delve into and see where, what it means, if you're going to explain that a little bit more in the next installment. And it makes me want to read further to see, okay, that's really cool. Is there a reason for that? You know, who's the dad? Like, what's going on? I thought those were really cool. Really well done. And thank you. And I'd like, I will promise I will stop talking after this, but the way that you described the pregnancy with the resemble the cauldron, instead of she was just pregnant, I thought that was really brilliant. Really well done.
Okay.
And Hatter, what'd you think?
Oh, I think he said he had to go.
I don't know. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know if he's still here because I was moving. I was doing stuff. Okay. So, Deb, what do you think?
Well, for starters, I agree with a lot of the stuff that you were just saying, but it grabbed me from the very, very first line, a father's love extends beyond the... And that part, I was almost in tears just from that line, because with all the stuff that I didn't mention is going on in the background right this minute. I really needed to hear that line. So aside from the poem, thank you for that beginning line. And then I too thought it was really, really cool how you called the pregnancy the cauldron, because if you think of the bubbled sides of the cauldron, it could look like at the profile of a pregnant chick with the belly sticking out. So I thought that was kind of brilliant. And the details, streaking across the sky by a star plummets, striking the castle's highest tower and crashed and burned. Exhausted, the wizard quipped to the king, "I believe the princess has returned." It was like a little mini story, and I think Sky mentioned Grimm. It does seem like it could have fit in with a Grimm collection there, especially with mention of the princess and the pregnancy, and back to that first line. And then when we got to the second line, losing his daughter was too much to bear, and that tugged my heartstrings in a different direction altogether. So this right, for me personally, on an emotional level, was a roller coaster ride, yet filled with brilliant descriptions and metaphors. So, and I also agree with Sky as far as your crystal clear reading voice, because it is, you are one of the poets who it's easy to just sit back and listen to them read and retain it and not have to see the words to try and keep up. You know what I mean? It's just, I very much enjoyed your poem. I feel like I'm...
Yeah, there's links in the author's notes to get, I think part one was Two Left Feet, A Fairy Tale for Princess Sweet. And, you know, I think that's the middle part. And then there's Eclipsed, I think, is the last part. It's kind of a battle between the king and the daughter and the prince however you want to interpret it.
Yeah, I was just noticing that it's on the list of racked recordings, that list that I have. And I didn't realize there's 149 of them in there. So, Sky, for future use, there's all his poems that have recordings with him are in that folder there. But, yeah,
oh,
so
good.
I think I remember. I think I remember the first part with Princess Sweet. But like I said, emotional roller coaster here. Brilliant work.
Well, I will have to go check them out. And thank you. And you were rambling. I was rambling. We were falling over each other with Rack's poetry. It's inevitable, right?
Yep.
Thank you.
I don't really call it rambling, though. I call it a passionate speech of attention, right?
You were impassioned by his poetic prowess.
Yes. So Deb, you're up, and then my poem is last. I just threw something up there. I would like you to have the opportunity to talk about anything that you would like to talk about. You're usually my best student. You do the best. Well, sweet.
I had seen from my crayon shows pictures of this, but I just looked at it as, you know, pretty algae and whatnot. But I did learn more from investigating, and it's pretty interesting. And I don't think I included it in my poem, but I didn't realize that there's like the sea krill and the squid and one or two other fish that live deeper in the ocean, and they have bioluminescent tendencies too, which I learned from investigating. And this algae, I guess for lack of a better word, has the same components as a firefly, and that's fascinating. So anyway, I like when I research and learn stuff so that I can write a poem for you. So it was pretty cool. And I love the photo that I found, because right now the the light is shining right under the Milky Way, and between the brilliance of the sky and the bold, beautiful neon blue from the algae, it's a stunning picture. So, yeah, it was a good one. And they come out mostly in moonless nights. I would have thought it would have been just the other way around, you know. I would have thought maybe they were reflecting off the moon or something, but no, they moonless. I guess if the moon's not shining, they'll shine for you. It's pretty cool.
Brilliant. And you did pick a beautiful picture. I haven't read the poem, but I have been looking at the picture. Thank you so much, Deb. Yeah, I forgot to mention they come out in moonless nights more, and I did learn about that, and I forgot to mention it, so thank you. You do your homework. Excellent.
I do, and I brought you an apple, too. Isn't that what the teacher's pets do?
I prefer oranges, but...
There you go.
No.
I'll remember that next time, dear teacher.
There's a glow worm in her
mouth.
Excellent.
Right. All right, Jen, whenever you're ready.
Okie dokie. Well, this happens to be called Moonless Nights in Opal Tinted Foam. Now, here we go. Twinkle, twinkle, then two eyes see light from the stars and from the sea. The stars blink white on ebony and blue algae light up the sea. As bioluminescent lights stir and churn on dark seaside nights, then salt water and glow collides on rides upon the ebb's riptides. Twinkles twinkle and seas of stars like fireflies in canning jars. The phytoplankton grow then glow for the photosynthesis show. If the predators hunt them, then bite. Abdomens glow with the neon light. Tropical waters are their home. They dwell in opal-tinted foam. And foam.
Excellent. If you, this is brilliant, Deb. And if you haven't been, I'm sure you were listening. I have been letting Rack comment first tonight, just because I want to. Rack, what do you think?
I thought this was brilliant. I love the repetition of the twinkle twinkle because you know it's not a steady light and you know that effect is hypnotic because it's like sometimes you see it and you wonder did I just see that and then you know it'll show up again and then there's the patterns and everything and you kind of get hypnotized. By the glow and the on and off kind of thing, I think that's really very signature of the bioluminescence. The lights aren't steady. I don't think on anything that's bioluminescent like that. They blink, you know, for whatever reason, you bring that out in this, and then you know you've got all the color in the water as well. You know, that you differentiate between. The color and from the sky, and then the color from the ocean and the algae, and then the opal tinted water. You know, I was like, you said opal. I'm like, oh no, but she said it's moonless. Where's the opal coming from? And you found it in the ocean. So I thought that was brilliant as well. I actually didn't see that coming for a change. It's not easy to surprise me. That was really cool.
Thank you, Raconteur. And time to impress my teacher. You had just said something to the effect of whatever causes them to do it. Well, I just happen to have read that it's safe for a human to go and wade through there. And when you do, as you kick up the sand, the motion from your feet kicking up the sand and or the motion of the ocean, releases a chemical reaction within the algae and the neon glows. So if it's not bright enough or you see them slightly and you go walk through it, it will light up brightly at your feet because the motion will stir the chemicals and the reaction will dazzle you. So I learned that too.
Excellent. Yes, I thought, isn't it so much easier, Rec, when you're the first commenter and the right, right fresh in your mind? I thought you might like that today, give you a little bit of a break. I thought this was brilliant. First of all, I love the play. I mean, of course, you say twinkle, twinkle, everybody thinks twinkle, twinkle, little star. But you twinkle, twinkle in sea of stars. I thought the way that you brought that nostalgia in a new, and that is a really hard one to reinvent because it is so ingrained when we're so young that
yeah.
when you say it and you reinvent it in such a brilliant way, I thought it was like comfort food and new food put together, like something you've never had before, but still have that nuance of comfort. I really loved how you did that. I loved how you went the three-line rhyme, two-line rhyme. The three-line rhyme, three-line rhyme, back to the two-line rhyme. I thought that was great, wonderful. And then you mixed it up in the end at the second stanza. It almost like you kind of just let the right do what it wanted to do. I really love that. And I love that you use the slant rhymes. I have to say, I'm really partial to slant rhymes. I'm not really true rhyme. I really like the slant rhymes. You brought in beautiful images of the stars. I like how you say blink white on ebony. You bring in the facts, but in a way that it's so descriptive and deep in poetry that you go right over the scientific words, like they're just meant to be there. Like you don't even bat an eye on them. And when you're bringing in science and poetry, sometimes they don't always meld together, and you did it in such a way where you don't even turn. It's like the phytoplankton grows and glow. And the way that you put that interline rhyme right after the phytoplankton, which is a big word to be putting in here, but because it's almost like you offset that with that inner rhyme with the grow and glow. So I really love that. And then for their phosphorescent show, it was really bouncy, and I really enjoyed it. Really, really well done. Where was I? The canning jars, where is that? I thought that was really good. The twinkle, twinkle in the sea of stars, like fireflies in canning jars. I could sing this, except I don't sing very well, but somebody could. Somebody could sing this, and I think it's so cool. Because it's just, I don't know. It's brilliant. No, I don't even want it with that tune. I think that it is so reinventive. It could even have its own tune, although I wouldn't dare put one together. But really, really well done. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Awesome comments. And I was going to stay a little bit longer, but I got another call coming in, so I better go. But great topic. Ms. Darkholm, and next show I'll bring you an orange.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Love him.
And have a great night. Thanks for calling in.
You too.
And right as you're leaving, we got Sweek. Wait, Deb. Where'd she go? She's gotta plug her show. I'll plug her show. I'll have Sweet plug her show. Hello, Sweet.
Unmuted.
I unmuted her. Okay, hold on. I'll try again.
I'm late. I'm sorry I'm late to class.
It's okay. Late is better than never. Good thing you called us because I was going to close after mine, so you just made it.
I know.
How are you?
Oh. How are you?
Good. I'm having a great day.
Good.
I'm going to have you read your poem, but I need to plug Deb's show because I did not ask her. I was bad. Okay. So next Monday, Personal Prop Monday, art featuring – so this is a Grassman's quotes. And
I know.
Great quotes there, obviously. And yeah. I had given Deb an artist that I really love,
And she put it in. She Remy Labarre, I love him. I love his work. And I had sent a message to Deb, and I said, there's this really great artist that I love. Maybe you could do it on a show. And she did, because she's so wonderful, brilliant, and I love that she did it because I'm so excited about it. So she is on at 10 p.m. You pick your own personal prompt. Pick a picture, pick a quote, and write a poem. So that's on at Personal Prompt Monday at 10 p.m. Thank you, Deb. Sorry to not give you the chance to say that. It's getting a little crazy. And hello, Purple Chaos. It's nice to see you on the board. And sweet, the mic is yours. And I will say,
okay,
I did tell Deb what a wonderful student she was. But then I backtracked and I said, well, Sweet Pea is also known for her wonderful homework skills. So I did give you a shout out right before you called.
Okay, good. It's not a very, very bright poem because I ran home, but I love the romantic side of this. Like, totally love this because I think it's just super romantic. So I wrote kind of a silly romantic poem for this. So this
okay.
is Stars and Oceans and Great Kisses. Because I think stars in the ocean and stars in the sky is just super cute, too. So, on the beaches of days gone wild, when the stars kissed an ocean child, her almond skin and chocolate eyes with lips of red that tasted of salt, hair the color of black and ash flowing in the wings and down her back, sunny skies met broad walk souls holding hands and ice cream cones, finding seashells, bathing suits, and sandcastle green, until the skies turned a brilliant red and the sun went to bed. The waves began to wash ashore in a magical allure of shining stars with all granted wishes, and a seductress in a red dress never misses the chance for a wild night on the beach with a great kisser.
Wonderful, love that ending. I'm letting Rack comment first for the evening. Rack, what did you think?
sweet. I mean, you know, I was transported there, you know. The seductress in the red. You tend to leave me speechless, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. And maybe it's that heavenly body.
Yeah. The stars.
Of water.
The stars.
Yeah. Thank you, Rack. Excellent. I thought this was a beautiful, and the way that you kind of put a romanticism and sultry together, and very subtle sultry, I might add, just that enough where you're not gulping in the sea, but you just kind of have a little bit of on your lips, I thought was absolutely brilliant. I also liked the open and the play on words, in beaches of days gone wild, instead of days gone by, which is a common phrase, but you switched it. So when you said it, I had to take a double take because I just thought it was so cool how you switched it around. Beaches of days gone wild, when the kiss of the ocean child. I thought that was a beautiful inner line rhyme. And then when you start talking about the almond skin and the chocolate eyes, just beautiful images of you know, hair colored black and ash flowing in the winds down her back. I mean, I was right there. It was beautiful descriptions of her. And then, of course, you contrast that very, I would say, lustrous images with the sunny skies and this more romantic scene with the sandcastles of dreams and the brilliant red and the sun went to bed, this kind of fairy tale story type thing. Not really fairy tale. What's the word I'm looking for? Story time.
I agree, so.
You know, like a bedtime story. Yeah, I'm looking for a certain word and I can't think of it. But like a lullaby story. So it's almost sandwiched in when you have like the sultry of the first, and then you've got this romanticism, and then you go back to this wonderful sultry when you bring in at the end with the wishes and the seductress of red dress never misses, and then it becomes a little bit of playfulness, a little bit playful as well. So I love that because you kind of go through different feelings and different stanzas. Really well done. I love the direction you took, and thank you so much for taking the time to write it. Coming to visit me.
I love this. By the way, hey! Sorry, they have to chime in. But yeah, I love what you found. I thought that was beautiful, and I actually like. I have to go to this place. This is like one of the things like is now on my bucket list. This is like a bucket list place I want to go to.
It's a place for tourism,
somewhere.
So definitely you can go there. I would love to go there. So we can go together. We'll have to bring Rack. I already invited Hatter, so we're going to be like a lot of people going there.
Okay. We'll just put Rack in the water and let him splash around so we can visualize.
Is there anything in particular you liked about it?
I just like the whole concept of it. The visualization of it is, I mean, the science of it I don't give a damn about. I got to tell you, I could care less how it happens or why it happens or whatever schmoozy, woozy crap of any of that. I don't care. The fact that it happens, it's magical. And I know there's all kinds of science and all that kind of stuff. And Charlie Brown's teacher. But then it's there, and it's stunning, and it's beautiful, and it's magical, and that's where, you know, I think the fairies and the fantasies and fall into the story of it all, and I could just fall into the story of, like, literally the stars and the oceans are all the granted wishes people wish for, and they fell from the sky, and now they're there forever in the seas, and that's just how I see it. Oh.
I feel another poem coming on.
Yeah, I really do. I could write poems on this, you know, just for a minute. Like maybe Amadeus needs to lose his voice for 20 minutes a day while I'm on the phone. That might be a wish that needs to fall into the sea. All right, guys. I'm going to go so you have no longer have to hear Amazon.
Well, before you go, I can wait. Don't stop.
Thursday.
Do you have a show that you
want to
plug?
The Suspicious Mind. Anything you find suspicious, is your neighbor a serial killer? Is someone putting oil in your shoe? You know, things like that. You know, does the guy at the coffee shop actually spit in your coffee? You know, things like that. What do you think is suspicious? You know, anything. I think it's funny. So come see me on Thursday right after Sky's show. And I will talk to you guys soon.
Are you on a 10?
And praise.
Are you on a 10?
I am on a 10. I am on a 10, not 11.
Wait,
I dropped down to 10.
Great. I'll stay till 11. I'll see you then.
All right. Bye, guys.
Night.
Bye. Okay. I've got my poem. And then we're gonna leave Rack after my poem, so we're gonna close out. It's gonna be like 10 minutes early, but I'm shutting the place down. This is called Paper Wishes and Bulrush Stalks by Sky Darko. A flask of starlight poured, spools of sparrow skies rung upon the moor. A gleaming trill reposed on aster sill. Her lips, a boysenberry part, with sips
of seedling dew, gathering sweet and tart. And as paper boats along the rim of marsh are pawed by squirrel and fox, they too collect its luster, awash in folded wishes, navigating betwixt bulrush docks. It is only within this hour we're seen diving for their light. Stars are made to steward dreams before they vanish in sight. End poem.
Wow, that's beautiful. And now you got me wondering, my mind went off on a tangent. When you say Moors, I think of England. Are there only Moors in England? There's got to be Moors in other places, right? So now my head is all screwed up about the Moors. But you know, I mean, and I'm taking away from the beauty of the rest of the piece, obviously. I mean, you've got the description of her lips and a couple of other things in there that are just so enticing and inviting and just absolutely stunning. This is the kind of stuff, this is why people stalk, you know. They read this and they're like, she understands me. I love her. Oh my goodness. I mean, there's beauty in this. That you know, undeniable. And it's I won't say obvious, but you know, you've touched it and experienced it to be sure. And it comes out in the longing in the way that you express it. I think. You're able to put it to words in a way that's just, you know, that it implies that you know what you're talking about, I think. And I think that's what distinguishes it from, you know, a lot of other writing. Beautiful done.
Thank you so much, Rack, and I appreciate it. So we are... and thank you. I'm sorry. I was doing something. And you're so funny. This is why people stalk me. I don't know when to talk.
Yes.
Okay. So I lied. We're not going to close out. We're going to wait for one moment. I always say to Deb, I say, I think I'm going to close out early, and then I end up staying for 2 hours. I don't know what happens. But I mean, I certainly don't mind. I love it. I just think, oh, well, we're all done with poems, so we're not going to have anything to do, so we're going to close out, and then we never get there. We always have stuff to do, I guess. But Purple Chaos is going to drop something in the board, and I'm going to – she's going to hang out in the darkness, so I don't know if she doesn't want – I won't pick her up, I guess. I'm not sure. But she's going to drop a poem, so I'm going to give her a minute to do that. While I'm giving her a minute – I do want to talk about our closing song, because why not? We're going to be closing out with Ryan Adams. He was born in 1974. He's an American singer-songwriter, recorder, producer, artist, and poet. He's got a lot of titles. He released 24 studio albums and 3 as a former member of Whiskey Town. In 2000, Adams left Whiskey Town and released his debut solo album, Heartbreaker, to critical acclaim. The album was nominated for the Shortlist Music Prize. The following year, his profile increased with the release of the UK Certified Gold, which included the single New York, New York. During this time, Adams worked on several unreleased albums, which were consolidated into 3 solo releases. Demolition, 2002. Working as a poetic, at a prolific rate, Adams released the classic rock influence, Rock and Roll, 2003. After a planned album, Love Is Hell, was rejected by his label, Lost Highway. As a compromise, Love Is Hell was released as 2 EPs and eventually released in a full-length state in 2004. Okay, so we will be closing out with him and the song When the Stars Go Blue. We're not closing out yet. I just wanted to do all the information just to give Chaos a little bit of time. Chaos, can you let me know on the board if you want me to pick you up and say hi or not? Because you sit in the shadow, so I'm not sure what that means, and I don't want to put you on the spot. So let me know what that means, and put your link right on the board, and we could read it. So I'm not going to pick you up until you say yes, I can pick you up. Or no, I'm just going to not say anything. She's in the studio, so I'm not. So that's why I just want to make sure. And I don't, last time I typed, not on mute, my type and went through the phone.
Right.
Okay. You were supposed to talk to that.
I guess you're reading her?
Yeah, she's going to drop a poem, and I could read for her. I just need the poem, and I just need to know if I'm picking her up. I don't like to put anybody on the spot, and I read earlier, she wrote, I'm going to stay in the shadows, so I'm not sure what that means. What happened? All right, I'm just going to try to pick her up.
Unmuted.
Hello, and
it seems like Wayne.
Oh, that's a pattern. No, it's Hatter. It's Hatter again.
That's why you run long, because Hatter calls in the last 10 minutes.
Oh my gosh! Wait. Oh, she left. She didn't. I can call. I'm just hanging. Oh, I'm just hanging out here in the darkness. Oh my gosh! I didn't read that right. Is she coming or not? Oh, okay. I thought you were somebody else. Hatter, you and Rack talk. I'm going to go find Purple Chaos.
Oh, okay.
How does one find Purple Chaos?
Interesting fact that I found out about Australia. Or this
go
part.
Ahead.
You can't buy peanut butter and jelly.
Get the hell out of here.
I know. Can you believe it? So I figured, you know what? You open a peanut butter and jelly shop, might make a killing, start a new fad.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Or
peanut butter and jelly from the store.
Peanut butter and jelly cookies.
I thought that was so weird. AP says, well, that's more of an American thing. I said, okay. But peanut butter and jelly, that's peanut butter and jelly. Come on. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Family Guy, it's peanut butter jelly time.
Peanut butter jelly time. Okay, so I don't know if she's going to drop or not. She said it's okay. Here's the thing. Sometimes when I'm talking, I don't always read the board. And if I do, I don't always read it right. Ooh. Obviously, I do not read it right.
Why don't you give me thanks?
All right. Paranoid enough for Thursday. All right. Okay, well, if you change your mind, I'm going to say my thank yous. And if you put a poem by the time I say my thank yous, you're welcome to read it. So I don't always read the board because I'm flipping between different. When I was reading the information about my closeout music, I was on a different page. So, but it was nice to hear from you either way. Hatter, I'm glad you came back, but we're closing out.
Yeah, I know.
I was waiting a little bit.
Close.
I didn't know Purple Chaos wanted to call or not, and I was not very good at communicating, as you can probably tell on the board.
A little chaos.
Like, what are you doing? I was having a little chaos with my information that I was giving Purple Chaos. And then I thought it was her in the studio because apparently I don't know numbers today. And it was you, and I thought I was talking to her because I read her thing wrong. It was crazy.
Oh.
So I had read it, I'll call and hang out in the shadows, but it was I'll call, I'm just hanging in the shadows. So I thought that meant she was going to call but didn't want to be picked up because some people do that.
Right.
But I misunderstood. That's why I was. That's why it took so long for me to pick you up. So sorry. It's okay. All right. All right. I was up till 1 a.m. Working on my book last night, so I'm blaming it on no sleep.
I got sucked in.
9 hours. I worked on my book for 9 hours yesterday, and I went to work. So I woke up an hour early. I worked on it an hour in the morning.
9 hours later.
Yeah, that was me working on my book. I got sucked right in. All right, I want to say my thank yous. Okay, I want to thank. Who do I want to thank? I wrote it down, even though it was Brack and Tor's job. I want to thank, of course, Brack and Tor for hanging out with me the entire time so that I don't stress out, because you don't want to see me stress out. And for being a wonderful conversationalist and for bringing poems and making comments and enjoying the evening with me. I want to thank Heavenly Angel, Destruction, AP Taylor, Pee Wee Cousin, Kay, Hatter, Seb, Sweet, and Purple Chaos for all hanging out with me, bringing poetry, bringing conversations, being lively on the board. And I think I got everybody. And thanks for being willing to learn about new things. That's what life's all about.
Absolutely.
Now mine.
Oh, good. Okay, so Purple Chaos is working on something for you. So she's going to be writing something for Milk. So good luck with that.
Oh, there you go.
That's
a lot
of
good.
Yeah. I'm going to try to think of something. All right, so I already talked about my closeout music. I said my thank yous. Is there anything else I need to do? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think I covered it all.
No, I want to ask you a question.
Is there something else I
want to ask you a question?
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
I shared it with Rocketeer, but it just blows me away that you can't get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich down here. You can't even buy it
down
from
where?
The store.
Australia.
In Australia.
Are you really in Australia?
He's hanging out with AP.
I am really in Australia. It's like
noon
time.
Oh, I thought AP was
like
just
that.
Being funny.
No, he's Pat is seriously drinking all his milk.
I am drinking all his milk, yeah. I've been here for I've been here a week and a half.
Okay, back up, okay. How amazing is it, as someone who knows how amazing it is, to visit people, because, you know, I went to England and I had my friend from England come over to me. How amazing is it to meet someone that you've known for a long time in person that you know, but you don't know? How is that then?
Well, AP Taylor is the most gracious host. He's everything we thought he was, plus more. Like I said, I've had nothing but great experience so far. Everybody's been so kind. It's sort of a blast from the past. It's more like where the world that I grew up in rather than the world that it is now in the United States. So it's very nice. Everybody's been so kind. Everybody's got dogs. Everybody's walking their dogs. They even allow them into coffee shops, even allowing them into some of the coffee shops. And
so wonderful.
And last night I heard a ruckus outside, so my sleep patterns are a little off still. So I went up to check it out. They actually walk up and down the street and steam clean and everything. So I was wondering, there's no trash on the street. There's no no vandalism that you can see. Everybody's, I don't want to say trusting so much as you smile and say hi, you will probably get one back. And I'm the guy with those accents down here.
Yeah. Well, I'm so happy for you both. I'm so happy. A wonderful thing to be able to get together and to be willing to travel to different continents and having new experiences. I hope you have fun. Continue to have fun.
And that's pretty cool.
But the opportunity arose, I would have never forgiven myself if I didn't jump on it. So AP Taylor invited me down, and I'm here. So
awesome.
Off the bucket list it goes. Visit Australia.
All right, Rack. If Hatter can go to Australia, I will go 2 states away, all right? I can feel the eye burn. Okay? Relax. I'm getting down there.
Well, how did you feel having the accident?
This lady on AP is yelling at me 10 seconds. So I guess I have better press this button because the lady's yelling at me. Okay, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. And I hope you enjoy the closeout music. And Hatter, thank you so much for calling again. Stop drinking all AP's milk.
Okay.
Good night.
I don't have any recognizable songs, but some people know this song.
9 hours later.
Where do you go?
Good night, Hatter. Good night, world.
Bye, Sky.
Have a good night and enjoy.